Good evening and welcome to today's meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California. I am George Hammond, Chair of the Humanities Member-Led Forum. We also welcome our listeners on the radio, and we invite our audience to visit us online at commonwealthclub.org. And now it is my pleasure to introduce Ann W. Smith, Arts Management Educator and Consultant, and the co-chair of the Club's Arts Forum, and your moderator for today's panel on Obama's agenda for the arts and humanities, stimulating the cultural economy as part of our For Richer or For Poorer series. The panel members include Matthew Tews, the Associate Director of the Stanford Humanities Center, Ralph Lewin, the Executive Director of the California Council for the Humanities, John Situ, ARRA Grants Program Manager for the California Arts Council, and Carrie Schulman, the Director of Grants for the Arts, City of San Francisco.
Thanks, George. As the moderator, I would like to explain the differences perhaps between the original description of the panel makeup and what we have now. Life moves fast in public policy and also sometimes tragically. In the case of it moving fast, at the White House and the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Endowment for the Humanities, of course, it's high time in Washington. And both staffs of the endowment and the humanities are awaiting the confirmation of their newly nominated leaders on the for the National Endowment for the Arts. That's Rocco Landisman, a New York theater producer who also has his PhD from the Yale School of Drama and has worked in many areas of the theater and is quite a theater activist. And on the humanities side, former representative from Pennsylvania, Jim Leach. So, Bill O'Brien sends his regrets. He's the deputy chair who tried very, very hard to get here and just the middle of last week said, you know, I don't dare leave town. So so we apologize for that. But we will cover the basics of what the issues are relating to the American Reinvestment and Recovery Act, or ARRA. And then on the kind of tragic side, our panelist designate from the California Arts Council, Josie Talamantes, her husband tragically just died very suddenly a week and a half ago, and she was really trying to be able to come, but designated a very worthy colleague, John Sito, who is actually the director of the ARRA program for the California Arts Council. And so what he has very relevant information. So we're very upset about Josie's tragedy, but we're also very grateful and pleased that John is able to be here. And also to step in to help replace the lack of the federal level, we have our own Grants for the Arts leader, Carrie Schulman, who knows almost everything. Whether she'll tell you or not is another question. But let's move on. Each panelist will present. We'll go from John, then Ralph, then Matthew, then Carrie. We'll go in that order from state to local for about 7 minutes, and then we will, in the meantime, as they're talking, if you have a question, hold up your card, and it will be collected, and I will sort them. And then about 20 till 7, we'll have some audience. We'll ask the questions from the audience. Okay? So, in the National Endowment for the Arts with funding, which went just like that. I mean, it was almost the first federal agency out of the gate with stimulus funds, and had the applications were up practically by the end of January, beginning of February, end of February, the process was completed. The announcements were made by June, and the money is on the way. So that's really fast. And California the state of California received 99 grants, and these grants are all, no matter what you hear on Fox News or anywhere else, these grants are all for jobs, job retention primarily. They're not for program, not for content. They're for jobs, like all the other stimulus programs. Of those 99 grants, San Francisco arts organizations received 37. And each grant relates to supporting anywhere from one to three or four jobs. The amount of the $30 million for the states was California got $4,450,000, of which San Francisco received $900,000. So considering 99 grants statewide, nationally, there were 631 grants. So California actually did pretty well in light of its population size. So let's see. The part of the Recovery Act also was funds that went to the state agencies. And the California Arts Council is the state of California's designated state agency, which receives annual funds from the National Endowment, and in this case also received a special allocation from the ARRA funds. And John Cito will describe the CAC's program and what its hopes are about the ARRA Act.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to first acknowledge the grant that we received, which is $502,400. Was actually applied and obtained by Josie Talamantes, who is the Director of Grants at the California Arts Council. I returned to the Arts Council just last August, so I haven't been there quite a year yet, and this was put onto my lap along with some other things. But we are happy that we opened up the electronic application, which is really sponsored by WestStaff, who is our regional Western state organization based in Denver, and we are coordinating with also not only the regional, the state, but also there are a couple of local arts agencies, primarily in Los Angeles, that also receive re-granting money. And I wanted to again, augment some of the statistics that Ann just gave you. Altogether, the stimulus money was $50 million through the NEA, and we received just a little under $5 million, about 10%. California, as a state agency, did receive the largest grant, but it's not proportionate to our population. We have the most populous state, so we're still kind of complaining about that, especially since many of you know about 5-6 years ago, the California Arts Council received a 95% cut through the general funds, and we have not recovered. And for those of you who have bought special arts license plates, we thank you because the state agency $3.3 million of re-grant money all comes through revenues generated through the arts license plate. We get less than $1 million from the general fund. And in any case, not to digress too far, the $502,000 we are re-granting, we're keeping a little bit to pay for students who would help us on the process of reporting. There's going to be a lot of that. But over $480,000 will now be available to be re-granted to groups that we had to establish a criteria of eligibility. And we went back to the last 4 years in 2002, 2003 when we received that cut. We felt that those people who had been recommended funding, except for the fact that, you know, our budget got decimated. We went back to those years in our core program and say, you are eligible to apply. Initially, we started with a group of 11,000 eligible organizations, and we only anticipate at $5,000 to $20,000 range in award money. At the top of $20,000, we can only give a little less than 25 grand. So you can imagine how tight things are going to be. We did have to cull some from the list that our universities and libraries and Parks and Rec have come to us, state, local government, come to us for program money, but since this is it was a job recovery, we didn't feel it was appropriate for us to be, you know, funding university staff or Parks and Recreation staff. So we're still getting a little flack from that. But the application is on. I don't want to take too much time because there's so many important things others have to say. At the website of the California Arts Council, you can Google just that, California Arts Council, or go to cac.ca.gov, California Arts Council, California government. We are calling our stimulus money the Arts Recovery Fund, and there's an application, as I said, it will be done electronically, and I think Anne, since she doesn't have any conflict of interest, these adjudication of the applications, the last time I checked, there were over 100 people who registered already. The deadline is August 24th. We made available the application on July 23rd, so there's, you know, a day plus a month to apply. It's very simple. What jobs, you know, have you lost, and what job are at risk of being lost, and how is this job relevant, you know, to the core mission of your organization? What, you know, immediate impact would be help? And then we also ask how the organization might plan to sustain that job, because the stimulus money, at least for now, is considered a one-time shot. And it would be a Band-Aid, you know, if the economy doesn't recover or there are no other contingency plans, you know, that would give us some assurance, because the the applications are adjudicated by a peer panel, and Anne, being a leader in the arts, I think we have her in the pool. Just wait until you see how many you might have to read, though. But I think people will be, in fact, logging on, you know, to the website and, you know, reading the application and then ranking them. And there's also different overlaps. The four sources of the stimulus art money are, first, the NEA, National Endowment for the Arts, then the states, then the local arts commissions, of which Los Angeles, both the county and the city, have got $250,000 to re-grant to their people. And the other one is WestAV, which is the Western Regional, you know, Arts Consortium. And they are asking us, their application actually is appended to ours. So and any of you eligible to apply to the California Arts Council can also apply to the WestAV, which has, you know, further foci of organizations of color, you know, multicultural organizations, organizations that have special development in information technology. And then the third is the succession, new leadership, you know, who are joining their organization. So we could advance our pool of higher ranked people that may have, you know, those areas of focus to them, and they're actually going to give $50,000 grants as opposed to ours, highest is $20,000, but you can only reach that to them. So at that, if you have any questions, I will sort of stop here and then allow
you. We won't ask questions now.
Okay.
But
yeah,
later on. Please write them
write
down.
Them down.
Hold
mm-hmm.
that thought. It's okay.
Thank you.
And thank you, John. But I do, maybe I can interrupt with a question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got money from the NEA. Can through ARA. Can I also get one from CAC?
No. You're only allowed...
No double dipping?
Right. They say one bite of the apple. In fact, we had to coordinate this timeline. As Ann said, the NEA made their announcement of the 630-some awardees. Because Los Angeles, you know, has a lot of arts organizations. Well, in fact, they're very jealous of us because in proportion to population, San Francisco actually got more organizations and grants. So, but in any case, their deadline will their adjudication process will close before ours will take place so that any grantees of theirs who got an award, we will automatically eliminate from our pool of consideration. Because we have to service the entire state, which also include a lot of rural areas, you know, and other arts organizations. Well, we want to be very mindful that as a state agency, we're serving the entire state rather than the most populous, you know, and most, you know,
most arts rich
arts organizations.
Okay. You have to spread it out. Okay, great. And just to step back for the feds for a moment. The agency doesn't have to have arts or humanities in its name to also have programs that might enhance the role of the arts as part of their stimulus packages. I'll just quickly read a list of those that where arts organizations can also be included, even though they're not arts or humanities agencies. The U.S. Department of Education, big arts and education money, and that money was increased, in fact, and passed out of the Senate committee today. So it's well on its way to an increase. The Department of Transportation enhancement grants, the Corporation for National Service. Do you want to talk about that when you talk?
No.
Okay. Okay. The Corporation for National Service, which was... included, specifically mentioned the arts as one of the areas that would be included in the programs that were to be developed for national service. The Department of Housing and Urban Development, the Community Development Block Grant Program, the U.S. Department of Labor, arts is work, the U.S. Department of Commerce, Economic Development Administration, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Rural Development Programs. So it's not just one place, and the arts are everywhere, and so are the humanities. Ralph Lewin, from the statewide perspective, though not a state agency or a government agency, carry on.
Thank you. First of all, I just want to say I'm honored to be here at the Commonwealth Club. It just has such a great tradition of providing a platform for important ideas over the past 100-plus years. And I also wanted to thank George for inviting me to participate in this panel. Thank you, George. And my fellow panelists, thanks for participating and for all the good work you're doing. So let me ask this question. How many of you care about history? Ethics? Philosophy? Stories? Imagination? Excellent. I'm glad to be among fellow travelers in the humanities. I was asked to just give you a brief overview of the California Council for the Humanities and then talk a little bit about what I see going on in the field and the Obama administration and then what we're going to be doing at the Humanities Council. So Reader's Digest version, NEH and NEA were created as part of Johnson's Great Society. And the National Endowment for the Humanities in the early 70s began to realize that, hey, we can't really reach people in California, and Texas, from Washington, D.C. We need to do something about this. And they set up nonprofit organizations, and the California Council for the Humanities was set up in 1975. And we were set up originally as a re-granting organization to give grants out to people that are interested in doing public humanities programs. Since that time, we've begun conducting projects of our own as well. The kinds of projects that we're involved with are things like teacher workshops that help teachers learn how to teach better, learn about subject matter in deeper ways. We support filmmakers probably just about any film, documentary film you've seen about California has received support from the California Council for the Humanities. Many of you heard of community foundations. We're kind of like the community foundation for the humanities. We support scholars to do important research, and we do projects like ask Californians to read The Grapes of Wrath and discuss it together, and discuss its contemporary relevance. We had over 1,000 programs take place in libraries and schools across the state with that program. We intend to do more of these kinds of programs. We believe that the humanities are vital, critical to our democracy, that the idea that people should understand history, that critical thinking, these things are fundamental to our democracy and really important to each of us as individuals. We believe that the humanities are a storehouse of accumulated wisdom, and that people instinctively turn to the humanities, to history and philosophy, to learn about how other people in other places have survived and thrived under difficult conditions, which makes times like these, when things seem to be falling apart, where people are, I feel, just as hungry to learn about the meaning of their lives as they are to put food on the table. This persistent universal quest for meaning at the heart of the humanities, and the heart of what the council does. So that's a little overview of who we are. We're a small organization. We have an office here in San Francisco. We don't have any affiliation to the ties to the state, we have about $2.5 million for our budget, and we get that money out to people from Bakersfield to Redding, from San Diego to San Francisco, and it's just a joy to do this kind of work, to engage with people about the humanities throughout the state. Time is short, so I'm just going to give you a couple of snippets about what's happening in the field, what I'm seeing. The California Association of Museums found that 50% of the museums across the state are expecting layoffs. Libraries, with the exception of San Francisco, because we have that set aside here in San Francisco, but libraries across the state, I was talking with people in Fresno, they're expecting layoffs. They're struggling to just acquire basic books. Libraries have become centers for literacy, centers for citizen classes. All these things are being cut. Public universities and colleges, fundamental to the California dream, are experiencing cuts like we haven't seen for years. Students are facing a 30% increase in tuition. For me, someone who grew up in California, born here in San Francisco, it's a tough time. And, you know, I talk with teachers across the state. In fact, we had a teacher institute at Matthews Institution in Stanford, and a teacher came up to me and she said, you know, because of teaching to the test and cuts to the budget, I am not able to teach history in my class. And this is a teacher who has spent her career teaching history, and she said, you know, when I want to teach history, I have to put a sign up on the door that says, testing, please do not disturb, and then she teaches history. She also told me that her school is an underachieving school, and so that means that they're going to teach math and writing, nothing wrong with math and writing, but marginalize history so that students won't get history until 10th grade. And what that means is that students don't receive an education in history before the 20th century. So in these underachieving schools, you have students not learning about Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, very fundamental pieces of our democracy. And so I think about the implication of that moving forward. You know, I think about California, where we're 49th in per pupil spending, 47th in student-to-teacher ratio among 50 states, and what's going to happen when the economy continues to go south. So these are tough times. So what are we going to do about it? Well, the Obama administration, I think they're doing good work. President Obama is, in my lifetime, been one of the most articulate presidents when it comes to the humanities. He's someone who roots his ideals in history. You know, I think of his speech in Cairo. I think about his speech about race, the more perfect union speech. What will this? How will this translate into stimulating culture and the economy? We have some clues. He appointed Jim Leach, a Republican congressman, 15 term from Iowa, and I'm optimistic about him. He's someone that was a founder of the Humanities Caucus in Congress. He has taught at Princeton and at Harvard. He understands the legislative process. So my hope is that he's going to be able to secure more funding for the humanities. And he's someone that also, I heard him interviewed, he said, you know, during the Great Depression, this country spent more money on arts and humanities than it ever had, and it did more good to lift the people's spirit of this country. And so I'm looking forward to someone with that kind of vision leading the National Endowment for the Humanities. The NEH budget is where the tires hit the road. We, at the Humanities Council, received 10% increase in our funding this year. And it looks good for next year, so we're hoping that more money flows from Washington to us so that we can get it out to teachers who need to learn, to students, to small organizations, museums across the state. That's what we intend to do. Also, Matthew will probably talk more about this, but we've been contacted by the White House. They've been doing the Summer of Service program, and it's going to culminate on September 11th, but it's not going to stop there. They're going to continue throughout the year and have occasions to talk about service and inspire people to serve in their communities. And we talked with the White House 3 weeks ago, and they said, can you help us? And one of the ways that the Humanities Councils can help, and Stanford and other organizations, is we have a program called the Meaning of Service, where people in AmeriCorps and other organizations across the state sit down and talk about, what did Socrates say about service? What did Martin Luther King say about service? What did Gandhi say about service? And so that you're not just serving, but you're learning about, you're building a foundation. So we're hoping that we can work with the White House on that so that we're not only receiving funding that we're sending out to people throughout the state, but we're also developing a strong foundation for humanities in the programs that the White House is putting forward.
And I'm going to say let's move on and come
Excellent.
Back to
Thank
that
you.
Later. That's great. Matthew.
Hi there. I'll add my thanks to Ralph's briefly. I work at the Stanford Humanities Center, which is an organization that sponsors advanced research in the humanities. So we sponsor faculty and students who are working on research projects, usually books. We run research workshops, and we have a wide variety of public programs, a lot of which are really built around trying to bring the humanities inside and outside the university together, so kind of trying to bridge some of the divide that can sometimes take place between the university and other sort of arts and culture projects that are happening outside the university. So we at the Humanities Center do receive some funding from the NEH, so we've received a couple of grants that we've gotten on a competitive basis. So there is some funding that's coming into the Humanities Center as sponsoring some of these research projects. We're also a member of the National Humanities Alliance, which is an advocacy organization in Washington, D.C., that works with lots of different humanities organizations around the country to try to bring together thoughts about the humanities, bring them to Congress, work closely with the Congressional Humanities Caucuses and things like that to try to move funding forward, especially for the NEH. So it's sort of from them that I've got most of my information and thoughts about where we currently are, and I wanted to just share a few of those very briefly. It seems to me that there's sort of two aspects of what we might think about in terms of recovery for the humanities right now. And one is financial, and one is something that's more sort of spiritual or moral or intellectual or whatever you want to call it. And they touch on some of the things that Ralph has said. In terms of the financial aspect, obviously we know that there's $50 million in the stimulus package for the arts. And that's wonderful, and it's wonderful that it's going out, and it's wonderful that it's getting out to arts organizations across the country. It's not a lot of money when you look at the huge stimulus package. $50 million divided by $787 billion is 0.00635%. Of the entire stimulus package. So it's a lot of money for these projects, but in comparison to the rest of the stimulus package, it's not a huge sum, and I think we have to kind of think about that. In contrast, if you look back at the WPA, at the Works Progress Administration that Ralph referred to, the Federal One, which is the arts component of the Works Project Progress Administration, had an initial allocation of $27 million out of the total WPA allocation of $4.8 billion. So that's 0.5625%. That sponsored 40,000 workers out of the WPA total of 3.4 million workers. So that's a very different kind of percentage. So I think the direct financial impact is very real, but we should also think about other things. We should think about indirect impacts, and we should think about these kind of spiritual and moral for want of a better word, impacts. The main thing in terms of indirect impact that I think we should be thinking about is the GI Bill. So the new GI Bill that was talked about today by the president, that's $78 billion over the next decade that's going to go to send veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars since 9/11, 2001, to college, and it's going to pay for the equivalent of a four-year education at a state university. There are all sorts of complications, about how it's going to be administered, but it's going to be a huge, huge, huge expansion of the number of people who are able to go to university. And if we look back historically, the GI Bill was really a place where after the Second World War, the expansion of the universities due to the GI Bill really was a huge support for the humanities, not just because it created new positions for teachers, but also because it created new consumers. It created people who were interested in the humanities and arts because they learned about it at school. It created people to buy those books because they were reading them in class at school. And so there's a whole set of indirect effects that I think are going to come out of that that'll be very interesting to watch. Ralph has mentioned that we have a president who's publicly supportive of the arts and who has said, and this is something that Anne mentioned as well, that the humanities and arts should be involved in service. So should think about the ways that the humanities and arts are part of serving the country, are part of a notion of public service. I was just on a conference call the other day with members of this National Humanities Alliance who were getting sort of instructions. They'd asked Bill Ivey, the director of the Humanities and Arts Transition, what was the best way for the humanities to be involved in the Obama administration's plans. And he said service. He said, look at the ways that what you're doing is giving back to the community, tell those stories, and go to the United We Serve website, serve.org, and put those stories into their big story bank, and those stories are going to be sort of spammed out to the world and are going to be ways to talk about why what we do is important. One of the types of stories that we can talk about is things like this big project called Imagining America, which is a consortium of humanities scholars and organizations that are trying to bring together the types of scholarship that we do and apply it to thinking about how that makes a difference for the public good. I think the appointment or the nomination of Jim Leach and presumed appointment is also great. He's a very strong leader. And part of what he is saying, and I think this is very important, is that it's not just that the humanities and arts create jobs, but it also they're a way of thinking about what's really important and a way of getting perspective on the really difficult situation we are in today. And I think having that kind of leadership at the helm is going to make a big difference.
That's great. I'm going to move on to Carrie, and we'll come back. And make sure you're writing down your questions and handing them out. Okay. And now, Carrie Shulman, who has been heading Grants for the Arts for a number of years and can tell us some of the issues the city faces.
Excuse me. Thank you all for having me. I look out and I do not see a whole lot of people I know, which is really good because sometimes I feel like we talk to ourselves all the time. So I'm very, very happy to see people here that I don't know and people who perhaps haven't heard my, you know, sort of spiel and won't nod off while I'm talking. It was wonderful to hear the spiritual side of the arts and humanities because, of course, you know, there's bread and there's roses. The arts are the roses, of course. But in San Francisco, interestingly enough, the agency that I manage, Grants for the Arts of the San Francisco Hotel Tax Fund is our legal name, actually predates the National Endowment for the Arts, and it is an investment. It is a tax. It takes some of the tax that visitors pay on their hotel rooms. The tax is very high. It's about 14%, and about 8 cents on the dollar in a good year, and this year a little less, comes to my office for redistribution to the nonprofit arts organizations in the city, and we fund 220 organizations, from very small activities in the neighborhoods to the opera, the symphony, the ballet, the Museum of Modern Art, the sort of flagship organizations of the city. And this has always been considered an investment because from the very beginning, 1961, it was clear that tourism is San Francisco's largest industry. And how do we get tourists here? Well, we have the Golden Gate Park, and we have the cable cars, and we have the bridge, and we have fine dining, and all those kinds of things that the Convention Bureau talks about. But we also have the arts. And that has been very, very significant. And the investment of Grants for the Arts in these now 220 organizations, I think, has allowed San Francisco to fight above our weight nationally. And The numbers that Anne quoted you, and I'm going to throw a few more at you, I think truly attest to that. 630 U.S. organizations shared almost $30 million. 37 of these groups were San Francisco groups. This is 6% of all U.S. groups and 5% of the total funds awarded. New York City was the 900-pound gorilla in this. They got $5 million and 19% of grants awarded, but San Francisco was second only to New York in the nation in grants awarded for the stimulus. Thank you for that shout-out in the back. This is very, very significant, and I take considerable – I personally, in the almost 30 years that I've been in this job, I take considerable pride that we have – put this support, these supports under our organizations, that we have this safety web under so many organizations that allows us to compete in this way. So I said San Francisco is second only to New York in getting money. Anybody care to, well, you're the Commonwealth Club folks. You probably know this. Where is San Francisco in terms of population? Is it third? Is it fifth? What is it? 14th. 14th. So we are smaller than cities like Indianapolis, Detroit, San Antonio, Philadelphia, and yet the arts organizations in those cities did not compete at the level, at nothing like the level, in fact, that San Francisco's arts compete. So we have a treasure here. We have something that is absolutely worth supporting, and it's worth supporting with tax dollars. And we've had the now we have someone at the national level in President Obama who understands this, and the people around him who understand the importance of the arts to national morale, to national stature, to all of the things that any of you, I'm sure, as Commonwealth members could talk about. But we have had this at the local level for a long time. We've had the gift of elected officials who really get it. Mayor George Christopher was first put the hotel tax into effect, and it was turned down twice at the Board of Supervisors. He tried it three times before they finally would allow a hotel tax to be collected, and from the very beginning for a lot of it to go to arts organizations in the city. He got it. He saw that this would make San Francisco special and unusual, and would work symbiotically with our largest industry, which is, of course, tourism. And that tourists would come, they would see our arts organizations, and they would spread the word throughout the country and throughout the world. The San Francisco arts organizations also compete very, very handsomely on an international level in terms of organizations that get grants to tour internationally, that get international press when they perform overseas. So we have something here to be very proud of. I'm now very sorry to tell you that this is a very, very difficult year. After very difficult budget negotiations with the mayor's office, Grants for the Arts lost almost 20% of its funding. Part of that is simply the fact that the hotel tax itself is down. The visitor industry is struggling. Hotels are struggling to not have to lay off more workers. They're trying very hard to keep their people employed, and what they're doing is some heavy discounting. Possibly I shouldn't say that on the radio. But in fact, they are. And I say more power to them, because that keeps people employed. If they had tried to keep their numbers up, and yet had fewer guests, that would mean that they would need fewer folks to clean the room, fewer folks at the front desk. It would have had a cascading negative effect on the employment in the whole city. But then, so this was very difficult, this first 20%. Then at the Board of Supervisors, when the Board of Supervisors was to pass on the budget, at the very last moment and out of nowhere, they decided that another $500,000, another 5%, should come from grants for the arts. So that means that from about $10.5 million last year, we're down to eight and a half this year. And it has meant that there will be some very, very difficult decisions for the city. But the good news is that the ethic that we've had, the mission that we've had of keeping ongoing general operating support to the largest number of organizations that we possibly can, will continue. And even though any individual organization and every individual organization will see a cut that will hurt, the whole ecosystem will survive, because, in fact, the arts are an ecosystem. And an ecosystem doesn't depend on the survival of any particular entity, but the survival is of the whole, of the entity as a whole. And I think that we will be able to do that. And I will stop now before Ann stops me. But I do want to say that we have in the room Michael Nolan, who probably knows more about what the Obama administration is doing for the arts than anyone. And I hope at the end that we'll have a little chance to hear from Michael, if he's willing. I haven't talked to him about this. I just threw this at him.
I'm sure he has a question.
And I also hope that someone will ask me, so what can we do?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, panel, very much. We really appreciate what you've had to say so far. We'd like to remind our listening audience that this is a program with the Commonwealth Club of California, and time now for Q&A. George, have you got the questions?
Yes.
Okay. And we'll give him the mic. So George is going to ask the questions. So anyone who wants to pressure him.
The first question here from the audience is directed to Carrie, and so what are we going to do?
Oh, that's so nice. Each and every one of you has within your power to shore up an arts organization. And the main thing you can do is go see something. Go to an exhibit. We have phenomenal exhibits right now. The Abaddon exhibit is at SF MoMA. The Contemporary Jewish Museum has Chagall's theater drawings and even some little maquettes for shows that he designed for the Russian theater. We have, there's Tut, of course, who would, don't want to miss that. Performing arts are a little bit down right now, the end of the summer. They all really pick up right after Labor Day. But there are a couple of things that are tremendous. A show by Joe Good called Traveling Light, which is at the Old Mint. It's very, very difficult to get into the Old Mint. It's an extraordinary space. You won't believe it. And this dance performance uses 7 or 8 different spaces in the Old Mint. It's one of those things that I think people are going to be talking about in 10 years and saying that they were there when they weren't, because it's going to be such a hot ticket. those will sell out. Golden Thread Productions, which is our theater company that specializes in plays from the Arab traditions in the Middle East, is going to do a show at the Thick Description Space, which is at the foot of Potrero Hill. Should be a very interesting production based on a Middle Eastern fable. So there is really wonderful things to see, and that's what you can do. You can go see it, and you can find out how to go see things by, you know, any number of means. The Pink Section, of course, is the classic and the Chronicle, but my office actually underwrites the expenses of the San Francisco Arts Monthly, which any of you who get the Sunday New York Times will see it in the first Sunday of the month of the Sunday New York Times, San Francisco Arts Monthly. You probably think it's a New York Times publication. It isn't. It's City of San Francisco. And sfarts.org, which is a calendar website, www.sfarts.org, searchable calendar. No advertising, no pop-ups, none of that stuff. But, you know, you want to know what to do this weekend, you put in the date and say what. Do you want theater? Do you want dance? Do you want everything? And 200 events typically pop up for any night of the week.
And Carrie says go. And so does John, right?
Yeah. I wanted to respond to that question too, as far as the California Arts Council. After hearing these gentlemen also say, California, as creative, as wealthy as we had one time been, the arts and humanities have been ranking pretty low. As far as the California Arts Council, we're at 5 cents per citizen per capita, which puts us, you know, last on 50th. But Brad Erickson still here? Yeah. Brad is helping us. Actually, he's part of the California Arts Advocate, and there's a Assembly Bill 700 still alive today. There is an existing arts tax already, you know, existing already. All of that money now goes to the general fund, and this is the California Arts Council, you know, which is the state agency that, you know, nurtures the arts, gets less than $1 million from the general fund. If AB 700 passes the assembly, goes to the Senate next year, and if it becomes enacted by law, a percentage of that existing tax will go back to the California Arts Council. We believe that might put us back from $1 million general support to about $30 million back to where we were.
That's a big change.
Yeah. And I would encourage you, because the bill, as a citizen, you know, you can advocate for it. You could find that in the California Arts Advocate website or in the California Arts Council through advocates. It just means there's letters already, you know, prepared for you. If you feel strongly about it, you could just fax one to your legislators. Okay?
Good.
Well, that was a very good example of that all politics are local. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to hear from Carrie about what's going on in San Francisco. There was one comment and then a few questions. The comment was, this is probably why Europeans feel comfortable in San Francisco. The arts, the funding of the arts seems much more on the European model. One question was, Superintendent Dufty is moving to replace the $500,000 cut by the supervisors. How can we help with this effort?
Contact Supervisor Dufty and tell him you support that. I have to say it's difficult because the money that was taken from Grants for the Arts is to go to restoration of some children's services. I don't think it's clear which of the children's services that were cut that it will go to, but it's an example of a constant dilemma that the arts have of other people, not us. We understand that we provide children's services and that setting up some kind of a competition is completely inappropriate, but it does seem to be set up sometimes, that is, the arts or some kinds of services. And we do consider the arts, in line with what folks have been talking about, a vital service to civilization. The arts are a service of civilization. And as much as keeping the roads paved and the streetlights working and the police on the beat. But that is not always understood, that it's not a competition. And so any kind of advocacy with the supervisors, if you live in San Francisco, talk to your own supervisor, support what Supervisor Dufty is doing, although I have to say that it will take the vote to take the $500,000 from Grants for the Arts was 6-5. And in order to override the vote would be we would need three additional votes. So we wouldn't have to just change one vote; we would have to change three. That's a high bar, I think, in this economy. But certainly, if not for this effort, talk to your supervisors and tell them that you support the arts and that you want them fully supported and fully funded.
On a kind of broader national level, I think any kind of stories that you have about how the arts are part of that kind of public service and how the arts give back, you can put them on that serve.gov website, and they're using those as ways to advocate kind of nationally for the importance of the arts and for the importance of the humanities. So, you know, if you have that kind of thing, that's kind of slightly longer-term kind of advocacy you can do.
There's obviously a great thirst for history in the audience, because they would like to hear more stories about bold and brave politicians who got something started. But I think we can move on from that. Another question, just specific about museums in San Francisco, whether there's any talk, any desire, any ability, any background for developing a museum devoted to the vernacular ethnic diversity of cultures and music rather than one more modern art museum. Obviously, that modern art museum was being privately funded or was being considered for that reason, so you really can't take a private funder and tell them what to do. But is there any background on the ethnic music museum?
I don't have any, actually. Maybe someone from the audience knows. I mean, museums typically start with a collection. And so if there is a collection of scores, of instruments, of recordings, then that would be the basis of a museum. Without a collection, it's more difficult. Talk to the Contemporary Jewish Museum. It's very difficult because it means that you're building something completely from scratch, and it takes a great deal of grassroots effort and organizing. And again, as I talked about Mayor George Christopher, as in real estate, to get something like this done, it's leadership, leadership, leadership. And I would add to that perhaps tenacity, tenacity, tenacity. But there are, I just want to give one quick example of a politician who really got something done, and that's Rudy Nothenberg, who was my boss for many years. He was the chief administrative officer of San Francisco from the mid-'80s to the mid-'90s. And he almost single-handedly is responsible for getting the Asian Art Museum in the old library, the new library built. Now, I don't mean funding. I mean making it possible politically, putting those deals together. The new courthouse built, and getting the opera house seismically retrofitted so that people can be in there, getting it earthquake safe and renovated. So it was really just a lot of behind the scenes, a lot of working with a lot of different people to put that together to make Civic Center the hub that it is now for arts and culture in the city.
Okay. And I would nominate way back in the day my old boss, Jerry Brown, who started the California Arts Council, a People's Arts Council. Anyway, we have time for one, maybe two more questions.
A little bit later. I've got here a general comment. I think that on the national level, on the knowledge, since we talked about, you know, how the Obama administration is distributing the money, there's a question whether there's any restrictions to prevent the money from going to bonuses and executive golden parachute payments. And down to the retention of regular jobs. Is there any restrictions in the bills that you know about? Go ahead.
Golden parachutes.
Yeah, actually, there are a number of inspector generals. California just developed their own, and transparency and accountability is really important. So I think we can eliminate that possibility from at least the, you know, nonprofit art world here.
One
and then
final
a very,
question.
Very good, yeah, one very good question. What are the opportunities for volunteer action in the arts?
They're immense, immeasurable, and constant.
We know at the Commonwealth Club there are several.
Yes.
I just wanted to say one thing about that. I've talked with a number of directors of arts and humanities organizations across the state, and they said they're facing a double recession right now. Not only is foundation and individual giving down, but they're finding it very difficult to find new board members and recruit board members. That is, people are less willing to give of their time to serve on boards. And so as I'm talking with people in the Commonwealth Club, I'd hope that you would talk with friends and encourage people to serve on boards of arts and humanities organizations, because it really does make a big difference.
Absolutely. We have to officially close. George, do you want me to?
Yeah.
We would like to thank our panel very much for this evening. John Cito, California Arts Council, Ralph Lewin, the California Council for the Humanities. Is that right? Yeah, California Council for the Humanities. Matthew Tews, Stanford Research, Humanities Research Center, and Carrie Shulman, Grants for the Arts San Francisco. Thanks to our audience today and our radio audience. And now this meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California, commemorating its 105th year of enlightened discussion, is adjourned.